All right, everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we're here with Mr. Earl Nelson. Introduce yourself, Earl.
How's it going, guys? My name's Earl Nelson. I live out here in Golden, Colorado. Play hill country blues, some country, some bluegrass, but mainly my influences are strictly in the old 20s to 50s to 60s hill country blues. You know, anywhere from you know, Robert Johnson and Charlie Patton, all the way up to Muddy Waters and guys like Taj Mahal. So.
Okay, that's some major blues players right there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm white, so a lot of it. I'm also from Kansas, so a lot of what comes out is a little more country. But it is what it is, and I still enjoy playing it.
I have the same problem. I wrote a song about Robert Johnson because, you know, he's supposedly he sold his soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a song about that. So and I'm same thing. I'm white and my voice comes out more rock and roll. So it's country when you hear me talk and probably country when I sing, but it's going to be Southern. I'll call it Southern rock. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
So
it's
said
all good, though. It's all good music. Go ahead.
So you're in Colorado?
Yeah. Yeah. Out here in Golden.
We love Colorado. I've been out there a couple times. The first time I was ever in Colorado, my redneck ass thought I could go with nothing but jeans and a hoodie. And I went in January and I'm getting mountain sickness.
Yeah, that's hell. That's hell. I'm at 5,800 feet here in Golden. I'm like 3-4 blocks from the Coors Brewery actually. But I'll go up to 9,000 and still get sick. So you gotta be weary for sure.
I know, my oldest son, he was probably about 10 or 11 at the time. He laughed because I had to carry an oxygen tank with me the whole way. Oh, even because, I mean, it went down. My oxygen was like 84 or something like that. It was so low.
Wow.
And we went into the hospital. And I remember it was so funny because it's a country hospital. I pulled up and there's a tractor in the parking lot. It's the only vehicle you see is a tractor. So it had to be the doctor's. So the doctor drove in on the tractor and I remember sitting there and then he gave me the oxygen tank and I slept with it and I had to drive with it. And my son was teasing me about being old.
Yeah. I mean, that is no joke. Honestly, there's not much you can do. It's kind of like having a really, really bad hangover that won't, you know, really go away. You just have to wait it out and drink a ton of water.
Yep. I did all that and it just, I think probably because I went in the cold and decided to wear jeans. I mean, we literally went on a horse and buggy thing. They have, I can't remember where, it was in Winter Park. They had some kind of little farm that they took you around on the sled and then they fed you inside of a barn. And I loved that, but I froze my ass off. I was so cold. I'm wrapped up in a horse blanket riding in the front.
Nothing's much fun when you're cold, honestly. Same thing when you're hot. Luckily, we don't have that here.
Now, how's the scene out in Colorado for your playing? Are you getting to play a lot of places?
Yeah, so we've been playing quite a bit all over. We've played all over Colorado now. I started this project just a few years ago by myself, and I played in Austin, Texas for 5 years. Every band and music goes around pretty easily there. Here too, I enjoy it here a lot as well, and there's plenty of places to play. We're finally getting some bigger shows and smaller festivals to play, so we're finally gonna hit the road, get on the Midwest, Texas to Kansas tour this year, so I'm excited for that, and we got a big summer ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Any days like that, go ahead or shouts out, because what I do with these, they're always pre-recorded. So you have a few months before I release it. So if you have dates or anything farther out in the future and you want to give those, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah. So, one date actually, this is more a Denver date. We just booked, if you've heard of Pierce Edens and Left Lane Cruiser, two are bluesier bands. They're coming to Cervantes, so we're going to play with them August 13th, and we'd love everybody to come out in the Colorado area. Other than that, we're going to be down in Texas. We're trying to get up to Knuckleheads. We'll see in Kansas City and where I'm originally from, but we'll be releasing music, you know how it is nowadays. You've got to release singles to get heard, so every, you know, 40 to 60 days, we're going to be releasing music this year. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. And what I do also with music, if you didn't know, is when this comes out, I'll put one of your songs in the top 10 countdown. It's like a fan-based voting. And I'll let you know, you can share it with all your family, friends, fans, and they can vote. If you last 12 weeks in it, then I retire. But all that means is that you get a featurette in a radio station from Paris. Cause I love playing to hearing new music. Great. So yeah. Send me anything you got, bro.
I will. Our sound is honestly kind of changing all the time, right? With more people you add, I like playing with big bands. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that being a kind of singer songwriter can get boring, at least playing out live, right? Feeding off other people. I really love having keys in the mix, especially as a blues group. I want to keep adding, and I want to get horns eventually, but we're starting somewhere. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love that blues jazzy sound. My bassist plays saxophone, so he obviously can't do it at the same time, but I'd have a whole horn section if I could.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing better.
So what made you want to kind of pick up a guitar and start playing and writing songs?
It was just kind of one of those things. My parents, nobody in my family was musically, gifted or interested really at all. And my sister did some singing, and she was a little older than me, but, more like opera choir stuff. And she's great. But I listened to terrible music growing up, and really in seventh and eighth grade, I discovered, all the greatest bands of all time, the Stones and Zeppelin and stuff. And I was really into those. I'm not too old, but I was late into the Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and even, Metallica. So I was into the heavier stuff back then, but that's what I wanted to play back then. So picked up a guitar, and, 6 months later I was playing, I played a little live show. We played, Master of Puppets at my school, and played an Anthrax song. So we went to a Catholic school too, so that was go over too well. But it was a blast. And ever since, and my music tastes have been evolving. And I'd say around my 18th to 20th birthday, around that time, I just, I was listening to Zeppelin and Stones and all these great blues kind of almost cover bands, right? And I'm like, where the hell do they get this stuff from? Because, nobody was there to teach me all these legends. And so I got really into who they were copying, from the guys from the earlier decades. And I'm like, why? This music's great as is, I started there. And then, I love the approach that like Taj Mahal and Bonnie Raitt take, and Allman Brothers too, to an extent. But where they just play the, old Delta blues, the Hill Country blues, and they just kind of 70s, groove it up, mm-hmm. and funk it up. And that's what I love doing. And that's where I'm at now.
Okay. Yeah. I love like all the stuff you started mentioning, those bands. I say I'm 45 years old, so I grew up listening to the sound. I remember Soundgarden. I was in high school and listening to Stone Temple Pilots, and I loved Nirvana. I just love that stuff. And then, I'm in the South, and the way I talk, so I had to listen. I listened to George Strait, and I listened to Hank Jr. I loved all mixture of stuff like that. Let's listen to one of your songs. What we'll do, you listen about three of your songs. I'm a songwriter too, so I like to hear stories behind them. So what I'm going to do is share the screen. And so you can see. So any song you got out, you will listen to it.
We could start with the one we just released a month ago, Raise My Window.
And what's the story behind Raise My Window?
So that, honestly, that song is, lyrics sometimes come first, and sometimes the melody comes first, and the song and everything, organization of it, I'm at a loss for words now, but in that song, I was just really happy. I threw in a bunch of stuff, some clawhammer banjo, some slide guitars, So it's just an interesting sound, and I really loved how it came together and the progression it's going. So,
okay. Now, did you play those, or did you have somebody play some of those instruments?
No, I play banjo, I play slide guitar, electric guitar, pretty much all the, you know, 5-6 string instruments I play. I do have a banjo player, he's great, but he's more of a bluegrass player. So I'm trying to get him around to playing clawhammer, and he's picking it up pretty fast. So I just think it fits better a lot of times with the style of music we're playing, you know, not all the time, but having a banjo player in a blues band, you gotta kind of, you know, do a couple things differently than Scrugg style every time. So.
All right. Now, so yeah, I heard that I'm going to cheat and have a banjo tour, cause I can't learn I don't want to learn the actual fingering for the regular banjo. I'd really just not have to.
Yeah. Well, see, I got lucky because I play in, I'd say 75 to 90% of the time I play in open tuning. So I play resonator slide guitar most of the time, open G and open D. And so open G is one of my favorite tunings. And that's what, you know, banjos typically tune to. So other than the picking part and the, you know, different rhythm of the strumming, it came pretty natural to me. So luckily, I was going to do the banjo guitar, whatever you call it, but figured I'd just learn another instrument. So went well, though, so far.
Right. Well, I'm going to mute us and play Raise My Window. Just give me a thumbs up in here.
Hey now, mama. Look what you gone done. I said, hey now, mama, look what you gone done. I won't be stuck here waiting to get blood out of stone.
Raise my window, baby. Let the light in your soul.
Man, I almost, that's a good, I almost got lost. I just didn't jam into it.
Good deal. I'm glad to hear it.
I like to write my notes down when I listen to stuff. You definitely have a vibe that's your own, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you can hear the soul and the roots that's in your voice. You hear that influence into it. And then you got like the psychedelic 70s, like Janis Joplin in 60s and 70s, and the Jefferson Starship stuff. I like it. I really like, it's hard. I know people, like, you listen to music, you like kind of comparing somebody just because what you hear. With your music, I can't do that. It's such a blend of music. I thought my music was a blend of music. Your music is really a blend. I like that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And that's probably, you know, part of the reason I make music, or I think everybody should make music, is to create new sounds and try new things and do whatever's best, you know, you're best suited at, instead of just, you know, copying all the popular people. And some of it catches, you know, if it catches on, great. If it doesn't, you know, no worries. At least you tried creating something. And, you know, luckily our stuff has caught on so far. That one, you know, I feel like that one's the most unique one we've had yet. We kind of go around the spectrum. So, you know, all kinds of stuff. I was talking to my dad the other day. He's like, "You're not a bluegrass band?" He was thinking we were a bluegrass band. I'm like, "Hell, no." Like, do you listen to anything you know, play? So anyway, I mean, not that I don't like bluegrass, but, you know, just because you have a banjo or just because you have, you know, certain instruments doesn't mean anything. You got to make it your own. So yep. I appreciate it.
I always call all more music mutt music because it's such a mixture of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what I like to do, is just a mixture of all the things that makes American music great.
I was waiting for a horn section. We talked about horns.
Yeah, I'd love to have had one. You won't hear it on any. I do play harmonica every now and then, but it's one of those things, like, you know, studio time and with other things involved, sometimes, you know, I don't have the time to throw down four different instruments on a track by myself. So,
right.
We have a great band. So.
Where do you record at?
We do our recording up at Far and Away Studios up in Boulder.
Okay.
They do other acts. Cass Clayton is a good friend of Jeff's, who's the producer there, who's a kind of big blues act here. And Taylor Scott as well, who's a pretty big blues act in Denver, if not one of the bigger acts. So those guys play up there a lot. He has some good acts come in there for sure. This time I wanted more freedom. I wanted more freedom to try out different things. So we mixed it back here. So back at, you know, my home base, so I could do more experimentation and, you know, add instruments. Maybe I don't like them, but I at least tried them. I at least, you know, feel more comfortable doing that. So this is the first song we've released where it hasn't been totally recorded live up at that studio.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. So how many people are in your band?
Five. So we gig as a five piece. Me, bass, drums, keys, and banjo. He plays guitar as well. Okay.
So where, like I said, you mentioned earlier, what do you got going on for future projects? So you said you're making more singles for 40, like every 40 days. Is that what you're playing?
Yeah. So we recorded six, you know, rhythm tracks up there in December. Okay. Studio. And we're just going to keep adding to those and release them every, 2 months or so this year. So that's the plan. And just do six singles this year and then figure out what's in store for next year.
Okay. And are you touring outside of, you said you're going to Texas and all right.
Yeah, we're going to do places? Texas, Kansas, not outside of Colorado this summer. So we're doing, luckily Colorado is such a beautiful state. I'm a huge outdoorsman. So we're playing a couple of shows in Salida, go down to Durango, you know, up to Breckenridge and those areas. So, I mean, we get around. The problem with Denver, though, is if you're not on tour, you're staying in state because there's nothing there's nothing around here. Salt Lake City is the closest city mm-hmm. in Kansas City, and they're both, you know, 8 hours away, 8-10 hours away. So
yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. Colorado, it's a beautiful state. We're me and my wife, we've talked about like when we get older, retiring out there, just because it's so nice. She wants to get a tiny home. I don't know about that, but I'm not a tiny person. You're not gonna fit me in a tiny house. But I told her, said, you can get me a camper. I'll take an RV. We'll go riding around and I'll play guitar and pick on stuff while you're looking at the sites, and then we'll pop in a motorcycle and ride all around.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of tons of people do it out west, you know, it's Denver West. Everybody out here is always stopping, you know, near, especially in Golden, because it's in the foothills on the way to the mountains from Denver. So I see RVs all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's that to me, like we do a Georgia versus series every year. And it's what it is, take 8 songwriters from Georgia and I take 8 songwriters from another state. And we haven't done Colorado yet. So if we ever do, which we will eventually, hopefully, I'll reach back out to you and like you're more than welcome.
Yeah, you should.
And let you play. And it's fun. I always do it. It's more for all originals because I'm not a big proponent of doing covers. I know when people gig out, you kind of have to, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
I prefer doing all originals. Now, do you do mainly originals or do you have to do covers and stuff with yours too?
So we do. I mean, when we play out ticketed shows, we open for Early James, if you've heard of him. We played with him early in February. He's on that Dan Auerbach record label. He's out of Alabama. When we play ticketed shows, when we play hour and a half, two-hour sets, we play all originals. But you got to play three-hour sets, unfortunately, sometimes to make some money. And then, of course, we'll throw in some covers in there. But all the covers I like to do are covers that people just assume are our originals, because nobody knows the B-side Taj Mahal record or, you know, an R.O. Burnside track. There's maybe, you know, two people in the audience who know that stuff. So we mainly do B-side covers, like a Van Morrison TV Sheets. Nobody knows that song, you know, no John Lee Hooker cover that he did. We do a cover of Van Morrison. So yeah, but we, I mean, if I had my choice, I'd play originals 100% of the time.
Yeah. That's, I always tell people like, with covers, I'm never going to be as good as original. So if I'm going to do a cover, I'll do it my way. And yeah. I always give guests a challenge. You can do it or you don't have to do it. It's not totally up to you. But as I'm listening to you, I always like, okay, I'm gonna give you a cover song and you do it your way. And when you do it, send it to me or post it, tag me, and I'll put on like all the social medias, like the TikToks and all that stuff, because I know it's part of it. But I want it like your way. So I'll think of something like off the wall as we're talking. And since you said B-side, I got a couple things that are popping up in my head that we'll see what you can do. And if you don't do it, like I said, you don't hurt my feelings.
I'm totally happy to do a challenge. I'd love that. Yeah. Sure. I'd do
that. And there's no time limit. So you just do it at your leisure whenever you can. It's not like, you got to have it done in 2 hours. I ain't gonna do that. I know better, because somebody actually did that to me. I gave them a challenge and they gave me a challenge. I was like, all right, first time do it, I'll do it. They gave me ABBA, Winner Takes All. And I'm like, oh my God, I was like, you don't know my voice.
Yeah. I don't even think I know more than one ABBA song, Dancing Queen.
That's the only one I know.
Yeah.
Luckily, my wife is like a huge ABBA fan, because she loves that stuff. And so what I had to do with it, and I'm still working on how to do the timing of it, but I dropped the guitar. I tuned it down to like a C sharp. I dropped the guitar like a step and a half just to fit my voice. Like, I'm going to make it dark, because if I'm going to mess with it, I make it dark. This is how I do it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Got to make it your own. Yeah. I love it.
Well, listen to another one of your songs. Which one do you want to hear next?
We do the kind of opposite side. Devil's Gonna Let You Down. That's off the first record. That's just, you know, this is kind of this is briefly kind of how I started. I recorded this full first album pretty much by myself with just my bassist. I just told him exactly what to play, and my old drummer just came in for, you know, a day. And I did everything else. But this song is kind of where I was headed in that thing.
Well, I ain't got the time for this anti-phase. They're coming with their forces and they'll cut down both your legs. Baby, they won't stop. And if you see your brother cuffed and bleeding out, well, you know what you gotta do, son. You gotta shoot them bad men down. Lord, it don't stop. Devil, devil's gonna lay down. Oh, don't you turn your head away. Fascists dress in red, yellow bellies they wear blue. Live off all your sweat before they come for me and you. Baby, they won't stop. And if you see us hanging far up off the ground, well, you know what you gotta do, son. You gotta shoot them bad men down. Lord, it don't stop. Devil, devil's gonna lay down.
Your style, it's very it's dark almost.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you know, that comes from a lot of that was kind of inspired by Mississippi Fred McDowell, like but you know, all those open D rhythms that are fun to play. So yeah, so you know, that was the plan, is I didn't have the time or money to write a bunch of songs for, you know, four other musicians to come in and lay down stuff on. And I had these, a couple, you know, two or three songs that were just really needed me and like a kick. So like, you know, I'll put them on there. And, you know, for some reason, a lot of people like that song. So
it's got a, like I said, I could totally hear, like when you said your dad asked about bluegrass, I could totally hear like a banjo solo just picking the hell out of there. But it's what you did was so simple and rhythmic. It would be like a sync. Like if you put it into like a show or a movie, it would fit, because it would fit the tone of like a dark show, like a CW show or whatever they wanted to do. But I think it would fit that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And that's the second record we did a year ago, which was our, you know, like technically my, you know, sophomore one right after the first. It's a lot of that kind of style with a full band, but I get the bluegrass, you know, thing, because I added banjo on that record. And, there's not much, you know, for keys, it's mainly a upright piano in the background. So I was trying to do more of a juke joint, you know, EP. And, so anyway, I still really enjoy playing that music. I still write it. And I just love playing stuff that's a little funky and gets people drinking and dancing at live shows. And unfortunately, you're playing for a long time, so you want to keep things interesting.
Yeah, and I understand that part of it, because when you're playing, especially if you're playing in a bar, you don't want a lot of sad songs, but you want people stuff that people can dance to. And like I said, your sound is so unique that it's not confusing, but like you're listening to it and you hear so many influences. And I'm listening to it and I hear certain things, and I'm sure there's things I'm missing because I didn't listen to a lot of it. But you got the blues, you got the bluegrass. I mean, I'm saying I like your style.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank
Wait
you.
For me to say it in a long way, but that's what
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, no worries. As long as that's the conclusion, I appreciate it.
Right. Like I said, we'll get long-winded on this, and that's why I always edit some of this down before I release them. So, usually my kids will, like you see, I'm in my studio right now that I'm building, but usually my kids will walk in or they'll do something. My dog will run out, or my cat will run up. And a lot of times when I was inside, I'd have a cat that would like run right in front of the microphone, right? Or put its ass right up against the camera. I was like, nobody wants to see your ass. And then I'm like picking cat hair off of my damn microphone.
Yeah, I mean, we get, you know, there's very, very professional people on live TV, on, you know, all the news channels that have this crap happen to them too. So I think it's understandable.
Yeah, if you want professional, I'm not the person to do it.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I get people ask me all the time, like, so what do I need to bring? What do I need to do? I'm like, you need to bring, if you're coming here, if you're ever in Georgia, you're more than welcome to come to studio, but I do a lot of Zoom. I was like, basically, you just bring your guitar and play, or if we do digital, then we'll because it's harder to play on Zoom because of the way that it, for whatever reason, like if you try to play audio in here, it's very hard to get it to sound right. It kind of fades it in and out. There's settings that we both had to set up. But I was like, basically, just come have fun. We're talking music. This is a passion. Now, do you get to do music full time, or do you have to work too?
So yeah, I still work 9-to-5. Luckily, you know, it's not too demanding. I dropped out of school to play music, so I've been playing for a while. But luckily, I got enough. I was studying engineering, and I got enough in to land me a decent job. So, but at the same time, I'm still not a professional engineer, which I don't know if I'd be able to do the music. So. I think it's a smart way to go. I when I moved to Austin, I didn't have a full-time job. I was just trying to do gigs here and there, you know, odd jobs. I was a welder, barbecue smoker, bartender, all kinds of stuff, just in the meantime between playing music. And it's really tough. It's really tough to make ends meet doing that. And it honestly, like, it started to get me down where I wasn't creative anymore because I was just so worried about the next dollar. And, so this affords me enough free time to pursue music, and it's great for where I'm at now.
Now, you mentioned bartender, because I used to bartend. Yeah. I went and did stuff. So what's your favorite drink to make?
I hated cocktails. Did you? Hated make them. I hated it. I was like, what the hell am I even doing? So I started to tell him, I'm like, just, I'll be your wine and beer guy. and I worked at one of the nicer restaurants in Austin, Texas. And I don't know. It's just not totally for me. I do love a good cocktail every now and then, but it's been so long. My memory has about a month on it, or 2 weeks maybe. So I put other stuff in the place of cocktail recipes, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, see, I love Lynchburg lemonade, and I have to tell everybody I go how to make them. So it's like it's Jack street and sour, triple sec, and then like you top it with Sprite, and like there's the mnemonic thing that they teach you. Like if you want to make a Lynchburg lemonade, it's Jack, Trip, Sharon, Stone. So you just remember Jack, triple sec, sweet and sour, Sprite. That's how they talk.
Okay.
But I knew it anyway, but I like to go make it. And when me and my wife went to Cancun on our anniversary, like she got the pina coladas and all the stuff that everybody gets when they go to Mexico. Me, I got the Lynchburgs because for two reasons. One, I knew that they wouldn't know how to make it, so they wouldn't water it down. And I drank, and everything was all inclusive. So I drank so much Lynchburg lemon. They didn't have Jack in Mexico, so they used Jim Beam. Same thing, but they didn't have Jack. I'm like, okay, I had so much fun.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I haven't drank that kind of whiskey in years. I don't know why. I'm a beer guy now, I guess. But yeah, it's all fun though.
Yeah, I haven't drank liquor. I had a problem with my liver, so I had to stop drinking for a while. Until now, it's like an occasional beer, but I always love mojitos. But I could never find anyone. I say never. Rarely could I find anyone that can make a mojito the right way because they're so hard to make.
Yeah. Most everywhere I go, there's one cocktail place here in Golden that's great. Most everywhere I go, if you order a mixed drink, they just serve you like the equivalent of a Jack and Coke. I mean, it's just most simple thing ever. I'm like, I'd rather just get a beer,
right?
Microbrew up the street, you know?
It's cheaper.
So, yeah, it's a lot cheaper.
So listen to one more of your songs. Then we have like a game I usually play, like a 20 question kind of game. That's not really music related. It's just random stuff. What's the last song that you want to hear?
We'll go ahead and play. Our most played song is Can't No Man. I Commit My Body. That song, we play that. That's a quick one.
Okay. That's one you want to play. Can't No Man.
All right. Yeah, that works.
Sure. All right, and you know I'm gonna ask. So, what's the story or story to go with that song?
Yeah, so this song is this was one of the first songs I wrote as this project, and this song, you know, I'm from Kansas, and I grew up around. My family wasn't into farming or agriculture, but most of the people I grew up around were, and you know, I wanted to start writing about. Not just, you know, issues we have today, because that's what I like to write about. Like, you know, if you look on that screen, I've joined the union today. I'm a big labor rights supporter. You know, I try to write a lot here and there in the style of like Woody Guthrie or even Hell Rage Against the Machine, one of my favorite bands too.
I love Rage.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands of all time. But yeah, Can't No Man's about just a family in a Dust Bowl. But it's super, it's kind of a jump Chicago blues, or, you know, you could judge it, but it's a kind of more like a Howlin' Wolf type of feel. So not a ton of words, but that message is in there.
Okay. Well, let's mute us and I'll play it. So let me know when you hear.
All right.
I won't lay easy and crave. devil at his feet. Yeah, when the reaper come to find me, I'll lay my shovel at his feet. And I'll tell God and his reaper, we ain't got shit left.
Definitely blues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like it's like blues and surfer mix almost. It's like the 60s surfer music. Like if the Beach Boys did a blues song, it's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, just it's the rhythm. I don't know what it is about it. It's making
I think it's a pro and con to have a bunch of white guys play blues. I'm the only one who listens to blues too. Okay. So that's probably, so everybody else, I mean, like, my bassist is huge and heavier, you know, sludge type stuff, Black Sabbath, Cream, you know, that blues. But
okay,
but yeah, the drummer on that, like, listens to all kinds of crap. He listens to stuff I would never listen to, you know, like weird you know, indie pop kind of stuff. So, you know, you do what you can. I mean, I can't, you know, go out and find the best blues players in the area and just, you know, have them. I'm nobody at that time, especially, and, you know, who's going to come play on my record. So wanted to just get it made, and they're good. They're super good, you know, players. It's just, but that's why, you know, it may not sound exactly like a blues track, but.
Well, I don't think you really want it to. I think you want, like you said earlier, you want it to be your style. I mean, of course you can take influences from it, but like I said, my mind works weird anyway. So when it said the blues and then I was thinking like the surf music, then all of a sudden my mind goes to what would a song sound like if you put the surfer music with some heavy metal blues or something. So my mind, that's how my mind works too.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, my guitar is a 66 box that I play out of. And it's got, like, it's like a surf guitar, and on that song I can't remember if I played a Telly or what, but I think I threw some Fox in there. And then, you know, like the trem sound and that echo, I still love to use all my effects from you know, my college days of, you know, more psychedelic kind of indie rock, you know, blues rock or whatever you want to call it. So I think some of that sound floats in there. Hell, I even still have I have a sitar pedal, that electro harmonic sitar pedal that I made. I need to sell that thing because I haven't used it.
Oh, you need to write your song now with it.
Yeah, I know. I'd be reaching if I did though. So.
Because when I go, my producer always tells me I have musical Tourette because I want to put some of the weirdest things into the songs. Like, I've got one song with a French horn in it. Just don't want to hear what it sound like. Another one, I got steel drums with like a reggae style guitar. I just like that stuff because it's, why not? I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the bigger people that are playing, they got their style, they're doing whatever they want to. I'm going to experiment. Why the hell not? What am I hurting? I'm not on a label where they say, no, you got to do it this way. You know what? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to figure it out and play around and who knows?
Totally. And I mean, also another thing I look at too is if you're not pushing the envelope in little ways here and there or big ways, you know, unless you got Aretha Franklin's voice or Sturgill Simpson's voice or something, right? Like, not many people are just did with these, you know, kind of booming, powering like voices or guitar playing ability that, like, Marcus King or something, right? Not many people. Those guys are Billy Strings. Those guys grew up. I didn't, you know, pick up a guitar till I was 10 or 13. Those guys were already better than maybe I am today, right? So, like, I mean, Derek Trucks was playing with the Allman Brothers at 13. So, like, there's no point in trying to emulate those guys, I think. You know, you're just doing yourself no favors. All you could do is find something you're good at, find some weird catchy thing you do, and you know, you're never going to make it, you know, or make people enjoy your music if you're just exactly copying other people. And it gets boring too, especially if you're as good as them. So you might as well find your own sound. And if it takes years, it takes years.
Yeah. And it could take decades to find it. I told my little girl, she was wanting the guitar. So I taught her guitar. So what I did is I taught her how to play Free Falling on her electric guitar, so that basically I did it because it's easy to play. You keep your hand in one position and you move your pinky and your ring finger up and down, and it will strengthen your hand. That's the whole point of that exercise for her. So I go in there a couple weeks later, I hear her guitar playing. I'm like, what is that in there? So I went in and listened. She's playing Nirvana. She didn't want to learn. She learned a little bit of Free Fall, and now she's watching YouTube and she's in there playing Nirvana, Come As You Are.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's what it is. That's one of the easiest styles to copy. I mean, Kurt Cobain was a pretty horrible guitarist. I mean, he was like well known as a bad guitarist, but he had that it factor. He really believed and had that passion in what he was doing, and it came out in droves, right? Like everybody loved it, even though he was playing the simplest stuff ever. So, but that's great. That's great. You know, when I do have kids someday, they're going to be the next Derek Trucks.
I love learning stuff. And you mentioned something about passion. I think that's good advice for anybody that's listening to this podcast. If you're trying to find your sound or you're trying to play, tone, I don't have the greatest tone either. My tone is, if you hear me in the dark, it'll scare the hell out of you. It's not a great tone, but some of the best performers aren't necessarily the best singers because they have that passion. You mentioned that passion that comes through. So you got to kind of enjoy what you're doing and be passionate about it. Of course you want to learn and you want to get better. That's a given, but you still can't lose that passion along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if that's one thing I've learned, you know, throughout years of playing too, I've played all kinds of different styles of music. In my, you know, professional career of music, and I'll want to play one thing one way. I'll want to be just like this guy or the other guy or whatever, but like, you can't force it. You can't force it. You just take, you know, you learn from them, but you can't force yourself into, being somebody else. So, right.
And I know a lot of younger songwriters or just starting out in songwriters, they get intimidated or they kind of lose their way, but it's, if you just stay focused, stay the course and have fun, because you're playing music, you're not doing a hard job. I mean, it's hard in a sense, but you know what I mean? You're not digging ditches or doing all that stuff. You're playing music, and it's an enjoyment, whether you have one person listen to you or 10,000 people listening to you, you're still playing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm loving this, but I've got about 10 minutes with you here.
Okay.
Then I gotta run. But
sure. Like I told you, you ain't hurt my feelings. No, we've been talking about an hour. So I'll ask you a couple questions. I'll let you go. Before I do that, tell everybody, Earl, where they can find you, your social media, your websites, all that stuff.
Yeah. So again, you can find, or not again, I haven't told you yet. You can find us at our website's earlnelsoncompany.com. Earl Nelson and the Company on all streaming platforms. We're coming out with new singles all the time now. And on all the social medias, it should be Earl Nelson Company. So luckily, there's not too many Earl Nelsons out there. I think there's a serial killer from like 50s and like some weird gospel evangelists from the 70s and then me. So check it out. Again, Earl Nelson Company. And follow us on social media or Spotify, whatever you want. And we'll be releasing stuff hopefully constantly.
Okay. We're going to do the little spin the wheel kind of questions here. Like I always have a little wheels. I call it Wheel of Death. Just a couple, because you got to go. And then I'll just go. I put a little sound effects in here. So I can hear it. What's the weirdest thing that you've ever eaten?
That I've ever eaten?
Yes.
God, my memory is about 2 months. I do. I'd have to say, I don't have a great answer to that. It's got to be, I have eaten plenty of insects and worms, and I don't believe I've eaten a snake, but I'd have to say some. I'll share a short story about a friend. We paid him $10 in grade school to eat throw up. So he made a ball of throw up. I luckily didn't, but that's the weirdest thing I can think of.
Yeah, so, you couldn't pay me enough to eat that. Like, nope.
Yeah, it was the thrown up like hot dog or something.
Not a chance. So I'll ask you one more question because I need to go. All right. We already kind of talked about the best advice that you've got. What is three things on your bucket list?
One being from here, and I think it's, you know, definitely a possibility, you know, well, you know, easier said than done, but I'd love to play at Red Rocks, whether that's opening for somebody. And, you know, I know some people who have played there, in our scene, and, I'd love to play at Red Rocks. I think that'd be a blast. It's one of maybe the coolest venue in the country, and it's 10 minutes from my house. So it's, that's one. And then, you know, two, I want to, you know, I feel like this is more of a goal than a bucket list, but, you know, I really want to find exactly, you know, who I am as a musician, because you're always constantly searching. And, you know, I came across an artist a couple of years back, Snook Seeglin, and he's a New Orleans street singer, pretty famous blues artist, but like, you know, hearing him, it almost just clicked. I'm like, this is the guy, this is like who I would, you know, so getting to that point of being just super comfortable with everything I'm, you know, playing, whether it's improvised or whether it's, you know, stuff I write that just flows together. So that's number two. And then, you know, I'd say number three, I would love to have a chance to play, you know, with, this isn't much of a bucket list, with some like incredible artists, whether it be, you know, guys out there right now in my field, you know, someone like, no, not necessarily, but like a Marcus King or a Derek Trucks or anybody in his band or, you know, anybody in that realm. I just feel like, you know, growing up or not having any influence by my parents or by my network, being a Catholic kid, mm-hmm. Nobody plays music. Nobody cares about music or wants you to play. It's kind of shunned. So, you know, to be able to actually, we've always just played with, you know, friends and white trash people around you, right? Would love to play with some like of the best musicians in the world. That'd be one of my bucket lists.
That's really cool. Well, Earl, I know you got to go. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I had a good time, and I thought of your cover song, okay. Your Own Way. I heard the Gary Allen version, but I think it's the George Strait song. It's called A Showman's Life.
Showman's Life.
I'm thinking of the Gary Allen style, but you do however you want.
I like Gary Allen. I used to listen to him back in like junior high. A Showman's Life, Gary Allen. Okay.
Yep. That's a good one. I think it fits your style because when you talk about dark music, he to me is like a dark country singer. And I loved Gary Allen. It's like, all right, let's see. But I didn't know it was a George Strait song until I looked it up. I was like, I think it's George Strait, but that's the one that I was thinking of, Gary Allen's version.
Okay, great. I'll give it a shot.
Right. Well, thank you again, brother, for coming on the show. You're more than welcome to come on any other time. And I'll let you know before your episode plays. And I'll put your song in the countdown. And I always tell my guests, I ask two things. One is, of course, to share it with everybody, you know, and two is pay it forward. If you know of any other singer songwriters, bands that we should talk to, have them come on. We'll do what we do now, conversation, and basically shoot the shit.
Definitely. I got a few people in mind. And I actually, there's a good number of people playing out here, playing country, kind of bluesy country out here from Alabama and the deep South. So, you'd probably get along.
All right.
All them. Yeah. It's a good group of people. So anyway. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jesse. Thanks again.
Thank you, Earl. All right, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds, and that was Earl Nelson. Thank you, Earl.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.